பாரிலையே சூத்த திஸ் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ் எப்பியே இன் கந்த சாங்கத்து கனெக்டட் டிஸ்கோர்ஸஸ் ஆஃப் த புத்த கஜனிய வக். ஒன் ஒன் ஒகேஷன் த பிளெஸட் ஒன் வாஸ் டுவெலிங் அட் கோசாம்பி இன் கோசித்த ஸ்பா. தென் இன் த மார்னிங் த பிளெஸட் ஒன் ட்ரெஸ்ட் அண்ட் டேக்கிங் போர்ட் அண்ட் ரோப் என்டர்ட் கோசாம்பி ஃபோர் ஆர்ம்ஸ். வென் ஈ ஹேட் வோக் ஃபோர் ஆர்ம்ஸ் இன் கோசாம்பி and had returned from the arms round, after his meal he sat his lodging in order himself, took his bowl and robe, and without informing his personal attendants, without taking leave of the bhikkhu sangha, he set out on tour alone without a companion. Then not long after the blessed one had departed, a certain bhikkhu approached the venerable Ananda and told him, "Friend Ananda, the blessed one has set his lodging in order himself, taken his bowl and robe, and without informing his personal attendants, without taking leave of the bhikkhu sangha, he has set out on tour alone without a companion. Friend, whenever the blessed one set out like that, he wishes to dwell alone. On such an occasion, the blessed one should not be followed by anyone." Then the blessed one, wandering by stages, arrived at Paralayaka. There at Paralayaka, the blessed one dwelt at the foot of an auspicious saltery. Then a number of bhikkhus approached the venerable Ananda and exchanged greetings with him. When they had concluded their greetings and cordial talk, they sat down to one side and said to the venerable Ananda, "Friend Ananda, it has been a long time since we heard a Dhamma talk in the presence of the blessed one. We should like to hear such a talk, friend Ananda." Then Venerable Ananda, together with those bhikkhus, approached the Blessed One at Paralayaka, at the root of auspicious saltery. Having approached, they paid homage to the Blessed One and sat down to one side. The Blessed One then instructed, exhorted, inspired, and gladdened those bhikkhus with a Dhamma talk. Now on that occasion, a reflection arose in the mind of a certain bhikkhu thus: how should one know, how should one see for the immediate destruction of the taints to occur? This astral taints, how one can get immediate destruction, how can one know that this immediate destruction? So Blessed One, having known with his mind the reflection in that bhikkhu's mind, addressed the bhikkhu thus: "Bhikkhu, this Dhamma has been taught by me discriminately. The four establishments of mindfulness have been taught by me discriminately. The four right striving, the four bases for spiritual power, the five spiritual faculties, the five powers, the seven factors of enlightenment, the noble eightfold path has been taught by me discriminately. Bhikkhu, in regard to the Dhamma that has been thus taught by me discriminately, a reflection arose in the mind of a certain bhikkhu thus: how should one know, how should one see for the immediate destruction of the taints to occur?" So these parts that we just heard, starting from the four establishment, they are this Sattis Bodhipakshika Dhamma, the 37 factors of enlightenment. So the first one is that the Satipatthana, four foundations of mindfulness, that is this mindfulness as regards body. That is, we contemplate about the 32 parts of the body, the dead bodies, the breathing meditation, and four great elements. They all part of the Kayagata Sati, or the mindfulness regarding the body. And that is that we see sort of thing that this form, such is arising in the form, such is passing away of the form. So there is this contemplation. And then there is this feeling. There are three kinds of feeling: pleasurable feeling, displeasure feeling, and neutral feeling. So regarding that one, that there is this mindfulness regarding feeling. So that feeling, how it comes to arise, how it passes away. And then we have the mindfulness regarding the thoughts, that over there we know that the lustful thought as lustful thought, lust-free thought as lust-free thought, deluded mind as deluded mind, undiluted mindness, undiluted mind, and so on. So the thoughts, how these thoughts, what are the components of that one? And again, we contemplate the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena. And then the fourth one is this, the Dhamma Anupassana, we contemplate about the doctrine. Again, we look at this, how they arise and passes away. So that is the four foundations of mindfulness. And then there is this Sampadana, or the four striving, that we have this effort to prevent arising of unarisen evil. That means that we are trying to prevent arising of ill-will thought, lustful thoughts, and then the harming thoughts. And there is this effort to get rid of those bad ones that has already arisen. So those are this lust, malice, and the delusion. And there is this effort to attain or to obtain the skill states. Those skill states are the faith of the stream enterer. And then there is this effort to maintain the arisen skill states. Those skill states are the faith of the stream enterer, once returner and never returner, so on, or an arahant. So those are the ones. So there are these four efforts. And then there is this Iddhipada, the psychic base, the four bases for spiritual power, that we have this the desire and effort, mind, and investigation. Those are the four Iddhipada. And then there is this Pancha Indriya, or the five faculties, that this we have this faith, and then wisdom, and there are another three, that is this effort, mindfulness, and concentration. So those parts become faculties, like that we have the eye faculty, where we don't have to ask for the eye to just look at a form. Just eye is sort of trained in that way, like that these faculties can be trained. Mindfulness is having established before it is mindful, and the faith established before it, that the faith is there.
What do you mean established before?
They have practiced before, developed.
Previous lives?
Well, even this birth.
Life. Okay.
Previous life as well as this life. Previous life, if you have developed them, then it is easy to develop over here. Otherwise, one can develop in the same birth to the level. So, and those five also become powers, that they are so powerful and can be applied whenever you want. And so there are ten over there, Pancha Indri, Pancha Bala. And then Satta Bojjhanga, seven factors of enlightenment. So they are this factor of enlightenment, that's the mindfulness, first one, and then the investigation of truth, the second. The third one is this effort, that we already discussed the effort. And the fourth one is the rapture. And if someone has got the effort already arisen, then it leads to rapture. It's like that you have prepared yourself before with the effort, that I am not going to let the ill-will thoughts come to my mind when I am walking and sort of thing. So one would get the rapture, that is the fourth one. And then when one is rapturous, then this mind become tranquil. There's the tranquility of the body and the tranquility of the mind. So that's the fifth one. So with the tranquility, if someone got rapture and the mind is tranquil, then the mind become concentrated. So the concentration is the sixth one, and then one would go to equanimity level. So those are the seven factors. And then there is this eightfold path, the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So those are the eight. So there are 37 here. And then Buddha said, and how bhikkhu should one know, how should one see for the immediate destruction of the taints to occur? Here bhikkhu, the uninstructed worldling who is not a seer of the noble ones and is unskilled and undisciplined in their dhamma, who is not a seer of superior persons and is unskilled and undisciplined in their dhamma, regards form as self. That regarding bhikkhu is a formation. That formation, what is its source? What is its origin? From what is it born and produced? And then Buddha said, when the uninstructed worldings is contacted by a feeling born of ignorance contact, craving arises. Thence that formation is born. So this paragraph is very, very important paragraph. So don't let it go in simple way. That lead to the understanding of how the self is formed as well. So what Buddha said, that if person who is not know the noble ones, Aryans, enlightened ones, and that he is not trained in that discipline and not skilled in that one, that person regards form as self. This Pali word is rupam attato samunupassati. One regards form as self. That regarding bhikkhu is a formation. So sanskara. This is yakovanasa bhikkhave samunupassana sankara. This Buddha is explaining now how the sanskara come to arise. Sanskara is this the formations. Sometimes is written as formations, as volitional formations. Sanskara is volitional formations. And then Buddha asked that formation, what is its source? That kin nidano, kin samudayo, kin jatko, like that, origin. And what is it born and produced? And Buddha said, when the uninstructed worldling is contacted by a feeling born of ignorance contact, craving arises. Thence that formation is born. So one need to look at carefully that there is an ignorance contact. So the ignorance must be there when the time of the contact occurs. So how do we get the ignorance? That's the big picture. That is, we get this ignorance because that we go through those four nutriments, the edible food. Having gone through the edible food, that is, I myself is an edible food. Any form, any materiality, any person you see is an edible food. So that Buddha took the example as the own son. A couple and their own son going through the desert, and then they ran out of food and they killed the baby and ate. So Buddha said it is that bad in that instance. So now regarding this edible food, we get this, that this is fair in the fowl. It's a perversion, that not the truth. We get the other side of the thing, that we feel that it is fair. And because of that one, that we get this, we have sensual desires coming up and clinging to those sensual desires, and that become the taints, it become the body tie of covetousness. We are holding it to very heavily, and we let it grow. We don't get rid of these knots in the ties with these things. We don't let it go, so they become stronger and stronger, and one day you can't sort of bear it. It's like a flood, it's coming up, and it's called ogre, and then that is becoming unbearable, and then the lust hold of that thing, and we are going through a bad path. So imagine that particular person having gone through that one. When you go through one path, the second path automatically work. If it is good now, let's say I have eaten some kind of a food, and then I see that kind of food on the table in another house one day, and as soon as I see that, since I have gone through that one, that my mind sort of construct that this is the food that you have eaten, tasted, happy with. So now the pleasure arises. So because of the pleasure, I hold the future. It is good now and I'm holding the future. So I get the anger as well. So I have gone through the second path. And having gone through this second bad direction, then I will continue on the third one. Then I regard these things as mine. It's like that, if you think about, let's say you are eating chicken sort of thing, and you have some sort of idea about chicken, and when you actually see a chicken, well, inside there is this thought, it's my food, right? So that chicken become mine as well. At that time, my mind is actually holding into that. I regard these things because of the things imposed upon us in the society. We do not grab other person's food or something like that because we respect. But in a lawless society, for example, if you have tsunami or something, then one would go and grab it as well as mine. So you can see that it is mine is now coming thoroughly. So, and then having go through that one, so I get another. So first path, I got three perversions that this thing, this the perception that the fair in the foulness, and the thought that it is fair, and then the view that it is fair. Three things. In the second one, the nutriment as the contact, then I get the pleasure in suffering, and the perception, the thought, and then the view. And the third path, having the volition as the nutriment, I get that this is mine, the perception, the thought, and then the view. The view become tighter, the stronger, the bit by bit. Like that flood is coming up like that, we are holding it tightly. And then we continue on the fourth path, because this volition now constructs the consciousness. When it constructs consciousness, then it constructs it as permanent. So now we get, because this is repeatedly occurring. So I give one consciousness constructed, and then I go back to the contact again, then I construct the consciousness again. So it repeatedly happens. Because of that, I get another three perversions that this is permanent. And there is this perception, and there is this thought, and the view. So there are three things. So now you can see there are 12 things. The foul nature and the pleasure, and then this is mine and this is permanent. So if you multiply that one by the perception, the thought, and the view regarding the same thing, so there are 12. And these 12 is the one create the ignorance. It's the closest condition to become ignorant. So, you can see these perceptions. That's why Buddha is teaching us, the perceptions, that the perception of impermanence, perception of suffering, perception of not self, the perception of foul nature, all these things, the perceptions Buddha teaches us, because these perceptions create this ignorance. Now, if you put this one to a proper form, you can see that there is this contact. That contact, I have gone through all these four wrong paths, many times, many eons, many infinite times I have gone through. I have gone through various ways. Now my mind is ignorance. As soon as I see the food, I think it's fair, it's pleasurable, it's mine, permanent. That sort of thing. So, permanent in the sense that it is, I can repeatedly produce regarding this thing again and again. Now, if someone sees that how come the food is not permanent, then one can see that, I give up that particular food? I hold it. I am happy now, my stomach is full, so I actually don't eat further than that. But the next day, next month, next week, it keeps on going.
Isn't it a bodily urge, like biological urge?
Yeah, who created it? Who created, how was it created? We created it.
Hunger and thirst.
Yes. If you were born here, it is. But if you are not born over there in this world, you are in the Brahma realms. There's no bodily urge to eat. So you can see, you have been there before, right? They have been here before as well. So it's just we made it up. As far as we are holding to these things, we make it up ourselves.
So at the time when we are animals, we have this same urge. We're doing the same cycle, whether I'm a human or a cockroach. I'm still craving and coming back.
Yes, yeah. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it all the time. And because I want to eat hoppers or whatever, the bread or whatever thing it is, so I actually take I happen to be here and eating those things. Because I love eating them in that sense. And the ones who want to be born as a human, but they miss that chance, they become, you know, sort of animal in the sense that because of the karma. But they still, you eat and you throw away, they eat it. So it's all urges, those things, yes, that they are coming up. Once you created this karma, it's part and parcel, it is coming up. There's no escape until you would escape yourself out of it. So there is this ignorant contact. Now as soon as that I see, this whole process continues. Now how the process continues now? Remember I was talking about at the beginning that given the edible food that we get the fair in the foul, fair nature of the food, and then we get the sensual desire and we are going into the lust path, right? Now the second time when you come into this food, when you see, first time you eat the food, right? The next time you see it, you get the contact. That is the contact. You have not eaten it, this one yet. Now you get the contact. Now the mind construct these things. Now this is the food. So this is the taste. So that former sensual desires are coming up. So there's this perception. This is the pleasurable thing. So that I perceive as pleasure. So where am I now? I started from the edible food as the form. Now I have the contact. Now I have, because of the perception that this is pleasurable, I get the volition. So you can see that it's going across the nutriment. The four nutriments, the edible food, the contact, and the volition, and the consciousness. Now it is continuing on that path, not the down path. Right? Understand? This one, you see, if you write this one in a piece of paper, like that, I got the, in the four columns, I got the nutriment, edible food, and the next one, column B, I say this is the contact, the third one is the volition, and the fourth one is the consciousness, right? And then these 10 dhamma going down because this is with the craving sort of thing, but that is the first how I got it, how I created it, how I became. And the next time when you see it, it's going across. Rather than going down, I going across first. So I get the consciousness. My consciousness is now ignorant. It is thinking that it is permanent. It's thinking that it is mine. So having got that one, now I see that one. So I get the feeling, now I go through whatever the paths I want, the way I want. I eat it, I will talk about it, I, welcome it. I can do many things depending on the, you know, even though I am not hungry, I'm not going to eat. I may be telling someone that there's good food. You know, I'm welcoming and all those things. So all those things continue. So because of this contact, this is the very important part to understand, the ignorance. Feeling born of ignorant contact. It comes as a package. The craving arises. For the feeling, I get the craving. And so there's a formation. What it forms? With the start at this one is, one regards form as self. This regarding is a formation. Now, Buddha said after this one, then that formation is born. What is that formation? Formation that this is mine. Buddha said, regards form as self. When you say regards form as self, form and the self is the same. What Buddha says, this process created this. When I regard form as self, I get the whole thing because I become ignorant. When I ignorant, I go through this path, the craving and the feeling, perception, craving, and then the it continues. And I construct the self, I am, in the sense that I regard this form as self. So the, when one says form as self, it's like this, there's good explanation over here in the path of discrimination, this Patisambhida Magga in Kuddaka Nikaya. How does he see materiality as self, this particular form as self? Here someone sees the earth kasina as self. He develops some sort of kasina. We know the kasina meditation where you would sort of have part of the earth, a realm made, and then you focus on that one and you close your eyes and you get the perception about that thing. Even you close, first you get the sign and then you go somewhere else and then you perceive it. So you'll be able to see that part of the earth. We can do that one in any time. But if you actually create a sort of a circle and on earth, you can get the sign, first see it, and then you go to some place and you sort of try to record it from your mind, that circle, the earth part.
And then it expands like that, isn't it?
Later on.
You can do it when you keep your eyes open too.
Later on. Yeah, later on. So this one expands in the sense, it's, you can make it bigger and bigger, and it's sort of that people who develop this one, they can actually make even the perception that it exists, even over the water, they can walk upon that one. So it's like his body extended. He can extend this thing, he can walk on those thing. It's like, it's a mastery actually, there's a big control about this this kasina. So having developed some sort of a kasina, he see that the kasina as the self. There's no difference for me. This is the materiality over here, the materiality over there. I got the same materiality. I can do whatever thing I want. So I think, well, it's my body, you know, sort of thing. That what the earth kasina is, that I am. At that particular time, he doesn't have any other things. I mean, this is hard to grab this perception for someone who has not sort of developed such thing. Because that all the time we were talking about the earth kasina, then probably somebody's mind may be, I need water, so my mind may be going to the water. So if it is going there, that means that you don't have the earth kasina. It's completely about this earth. So either way, let's see about this body. So the earth kasina is that I am. What I am, that the earth kasina is. There's no distinction for him. And he sees the earth kasina and self as identical. Just as one sees a lighted lamp, lamp's flame and color as identical. Thus, what the flame is, that the color is. What the color is, that the flame is. So too, here someone sees it is identical. The material thing, the matter is identical as self. So if someone asks, where am I? I'm here. You know, like that. It's my body, not the feeling, not the perception. It's Buddha is going to that one later on. So materiality, completely materiality. So, and then Buddha said, thus bhikkhu, that formation is impermanent, condition dependently arising. That craving is impermanent, condition dependently arising. That feeling is impermanent, condition dependently arising. That contact is impermanent, condition dependently arising. That ignorance is impermanent, condition dependently arising. When one knows and sees thus, bhikkhu, the immediate destruction of the taints occurs. So, so Buddha said that the formation is impermanent. The material thing that one would regard that this as the same as the earth or whatever, this formation, the formation is impermanent. Now we discuss how this formation come to occur, because the formation come to occur because of the feeling born of ignorant contact, that the craving arises. Because of this craving we get this one. So with the cessation of the craving, that the formation does not come to arise. If the craving ceases. And it is impermanent. We discussed this impermanent part many times. How we get the impermanent nature. We talk about the one seek delight in form, welcomes it, remain hold into it. That the Samadhi Bhavana Sutra has to be applied over here. So by doing that one, the delight in form arises. That the delight in form is clinging as condition, there is existence. There is existence as condition, there is birth. So that's how this one come to arise. There's no other way. So the reverse is, one does not seek delight in form, does not welcome it, does not remain whole into it. So the delight in form does not come to arise. With the cessation of delight comes the cessation of this clinging.
So that's where you need the mindfulness, is that?
No, you need to be mindful. This is the impermanent nature. How do you get the impermanent nature?
Yeah,
understand?
Yeah, okay. That's to be mindful that if you see something, and be mindful that this is a...
This is how it come to arise. Even the food does not come to arise without this process. You know, think about the food that come into our house. Is it a goat will bring it to you and put it over there? No. It's either one of the family members go shopping and get it and put it over there, and cooking and all those things, right? So all those things are arising from this process, craving process. So we have to be aware that this is how this one come to be. With the cessation of that one, this process ceases. So you see the arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena of this one. That is the impermanent nature. So that going through this, you got to be aware that I do such a thing, that's how this one come to arise. The plants in your house, the furniture in your house, everything comes with this our seeking delight, welcoming it. You know that if you go to your house, this furniture is different from the other person's house. Why? Because we went over there, we decided that we want these things. So our choice, and then, you know, it continues that way.
So taint means holding this with ignorance, without thinking the thinking about impermanent.
Without thinking about the consequences, yes.
So that is taint.
Taint is like this. Taint is so remember we discussed that when you see the edible food, that you get the fair. This is fair.
Yes.
Okay, what it has got is foul nature. Our body is foul nature, but we say fair. And then the sensual desire, clinging to sensual desire come to arise. When there is sensual desire, it leads to the something called bodhitaya of, first you get the yoga, and then you get the bodhitaya of covetousness. I am whole into it thoroughly. Okay, it's like I am bound to that one. Now, for example, certain food, we are bound to that food. I want this. Certain food, you sort of, you know, not much. But there is this type. It's like that book is bound by these strings sort of thing. I'm bound to that one. Now, I do not let go that binding. If I do not let go that binding, it becomes master. If you cut it and let it go,
yeah.
Then...
I think I need it.
Yeah. So that's how the astral come to arise. So
you have pains within you if you do not think about the impermanent nature of this.
Continuously arising.
Mm.
Continuously arising. At the time we are actually thinking about the impermanent nature, suffering nature, not self nature, foul nature, and sort of doing that one, then we are now continuing in that path. All the other time, we are continuing on that path. Unless someone is free from all those things.
So having things leads to volitional formation, like it's continuous. Like
it is jumping. It is jumping from the first path to the last one as well, the fourth path as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where I have these taints,
mm-hmm.
If I have the taint of sensual desire, then it leads to the taint of ill will as well, taint of anger. Mm-hmm. And then I also have the taint of view as well. And then I have the taint of ignorance as well. Once one is created, other three follows. So it is that bad. So once I got the other taints, then they created back this karma, you know, that this is mine, impermanent and all those things, and I'm holding to that one. And this is called grantha. First, you get the grantha first, the body tie, the tie coming up. And then it is grown to this astral level, taint level.
Because is that because people don't usually have a habit of giving up things, isn't it? I mean, not only the physical ones,
mental ones,
are mental ones too.
Both, yeah. All of them.
That's the main reason that if we cook something nice today.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll cook it as
that's right
again and again, isn't it?
One thing it is pleasing mm-hmm. me. One thing is others are eating and they are
yeah.
actually welcoming it.
Yeah.
You know, abhivadati. They actually express this one. And then we hear that one. Now I get two of them. One is for my tongue and the body. The other one is for my ear. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are coming up together. Do you want to answer?
It talks about how this Samajbhavana Sutra we can use to understand the suffering nature. And what I understood is this impermanent nature is because is lying within ourselves. Is that the right or it is
the permanent nature. Permanent nature is
no impermanent. That
impermanent is that you need to understand having done the impermanent is something that you understand thoroughly when you become an arahant. Until such time, everyone is developing that one. Not even the never-written understand the impermanent nature to that extent. Because if he knows impermanent nature, then this is the immediate destruction. That's what Buddha said, immediately gone. This impermanent nature is that by contemplating this Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, we get the glimpse. First, one day you would see that, yes, it is like this. But doesn't mean that you understood that one for the 100%. Maybe, you know, some sort of a huge percentage than the what we have been thinking that this is permanent. So there is this view. So
that's why we analyze it in a way that these are out of these four, five different things like matter, what is those four? The liquids,
material, element of extension, element of heat, element of motion. Yeah. So we need to look at these many ways. Buddha said that in Petakopadesa, it says that the non-self nature won't reveal to a one who is not analyzing in terms of the elements and in terms of the elements that lead to that element. For example, when we say person, we go matter, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, five things. And then we talk about the matter, we talk about the 32 parts of the body. Okay? Hair of the body and that one. So we got from one person we were thinking about now become five, matter, feeling and so on. And then matter become 32. because 32 parts of the body. And then these 32 parts of the body we analyze in terms of the elements. There's the element of extension, element of heat, element of motion. So we need to go back to the root level of this thing to see. So unless one would contemplate that way, we won't understand this not self nature. Yeah. So each one of them is impermanent. Condition. That is the sankata, the constructed nature. And then dependently arising, you can see probably what is the difference between the condition and the dependently arising, because the dependently arising has also got the condition nest. From the ignorance, the volitional formation. From the volitional formation, consciousness. But over here you need to see that this is condition at the time of seeing that object. When I see that particular material thing from my eye, so the eye consciousness come to arise, meeting of three is called contact, then there is this feeling, and then there is this particular thing arising. Now the condition dependently arising means for all three times. In the past also the same, in the present is also the same, in the future also the same way. So it's not only that particular time. So one has to generalize that one for the past, present, future. That craving is impermanent. Same phenomena. If the craving is permanent, then we can't get rid of this thing at all. And then the condition dependently arises. That feeling is impermanent. Condition dependently arises. The contact is impermanent. You know, that if the eye sees us, then I don't get the eye contact. Likewise. So, ignorance is impermanent. If the ignorance is permanent, then again we can't get rid of this thing. Because it's permanently there. And so everything is impermanent. Condition and dependently arising. When one knows and sees, thus bhikkhu, the immediate destruction of taints occur. You need to sort of see this one from your own thoughts in the meditation time. Many times this one is a very important paragraph. I use this one very heavily.
Is that the way karma occurs? Like, you know,
this is the karma. Formation is the karma. What we just discussed, formation, is the karma.
Yeah, it is itself, but what about the, if you do something bad, like consequences, like you see the repercussions, makes birth or something like that.
For the good one also, you have the consequences.
Yes, but bad ones or good ones, how can that happen? According to the volitional formation or?
Yeah, you have the volitional formation, so volitional, depending on the volitional formation, it construct whatever the thought is. So if I got the volitional formation, remember the volitional formation construct condition form as form, condition feeling as feeling, condition perception as perception, conditional volitional formation and volitional formation, condition consciousness as consciousness. So this continues all the time, and it continues at the time of the death as well. So it occurs that there is the volitional formation at the time of the death, and the next consciousness is constructed out of this volitional formation. So it goes on. So each time we have this karma. As far as we have craving, there is volitional formation. That's what Buddha says so here. Whenever we have craving, we have volitional formation.
So, but we don't get what we want, right?
That's a different thing. That is what I wish and... volitional formation should not be regarded as a sort of a wish and willing. That is a different thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I wish for that one. Wish could be a good one or bad one. And depending on that one, I have this intention. So I do certain things, bodily ones, the verbal ones or the mental one. Depending on that, I get the karma. So although I want it, doesn't mean that you get it, but I want it. So let's say I want to eat hoppers, and if I have cash by the time of the death, well, I can be a human form. If I don't, maybe a dog or something like that. And
Well, how can a person who's like, for example, severely suffering from dementia, who has no brain function at all in terms of thinking and stuff like that, how would the volitional formations affect a person like that at the time of the death?
Well, it's hard to discuss. because we do not know whether he has got the dementia at the time of the that particular moment as well. You know, who knows? He got dementia, but my father has sort of dementia as well in his thing. But he could remember some gatha.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he could remember, he got a boat in this somewhere, candy, somewhere. Before he can remember those things, we can't. If I ask him whether did you eat, he does not know. But he can remember sort of things, and so those are coming up. So his mind is not actually intact. It's not like a broken thing when you have the dementia. It's just that there's no ability. But time to time you get it. So we can't actually analyze and see how it is.
Yeah, what I heard is, I don't know whether it is correct or not, because dementia is the element that destroys the immediate past memory. That means the memories which are low, very fast are still there, and gradually that goes to that level. And in that sense, immediately somebody has done a bad karma about a month ago, and he has the dementia afterwards, and then that memory part has gone, but he has remember about 20 years time.
You can remember 20 years, maybe depending on the situation, you may going back to the previous births as well. Something that you have done, even the light of a Buddha, Buddha actually sent the light to one person who was, he was dying, and just the light of the Buddha was good enough for him to born in that world.
After his time, right?
No. While Buddha was living, right? So that the radiant being, someone sending the light, and you're looking at the light, and now you get some sort of perception. And then Buddha said he may not regard form as self, but regard self as possessing form. That regarding is a formation. So as before, the thing going to continue. When one knows and sees, thus bhikkhu, the immediate destruction of taints occur. Again, this part, we will read that part from the Patisambhida Magga. How does he see self possessed of possessing of materiality? Here someone sees, this time, feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness as self. The mental part, previously he was regarding the material part as self. Now he is regarding these mental parts as self. This is myself. But this self of mine is possessed of materiality by means of this materiality, and thus sees self possessed of materiality. Just as well, there are a tree possessed of shade. Tree has got the shade. Such that a man might say, this is the tree, this is the shade. The tree is one, the shade is another. But this tree is possessed of shade by means of this shade, and thus see the tree possessed of shade. So too, hence someone sees possessed of material. So here the tree is the self. I am the tree, self. And then the shade is the form. My mentality, feeling, perception, all those things become the self, and I as the tree got the shade, I got the form. And I'll go to the next example as well. How does he see materiality in self? Here someone sees feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness as self as before. He thinks this is myself. So it's either feeling is myself or the perception is myself. But this materiality is in the self. It is inside the self. Like this example is like the flower and the scent. The flower is the form. The flower is the self. And then the scent is the form. So the flower has got the scent. Like that. And thus he sees the materiality in self, just as were there a scented flower, such that a man might say, this is the flower, this is the scent. The flower is one and the scent another, but this scent is in this flower. And thus see the scent in the flower. So, too, here someone sees materiality in self. And the fourth one is, how does he see self in materiality this time? The self is inside the materiality. Hmm? So the example is just like a gem is in a casket. Gem is there inside the casket. So the gem is the self and the casket is the form. So inside the form that I got the self. I'm inside it. Hmm? So here someone says feeling, perception, volitional formation, consciousness as self. He thinks this is self. But this self of mine is in this materiality. And thus he sees self in materiality, just as were there a gem placed in a casket, such that a man might say, this is the gem, this is the casket. The gem is one and the casket another. But this gem is in this casket, and thus sees the gem in the casket. So too here someone sees self in materiality. So those are the things that we see. So Buddha said that this third case, he may not regard form as self or self as possessing self, but he regards form as in self. That regarding is a formation. Whenever we regard these things, it's a formation. So again Buddha said that when he sees this everything as impermanent, then that is the end of this thing. He may not regard form as self or self as possessing form, or form as in self, but he regards self as in form. That regarding is a formation, like that gem is inside the casket. He may not regard form as self, or self as in form, but he regards feeling as self. Now he is going to these individual parts. Feeling as self, perception as self, volitional formation as self, consciousness as self, self as in consciousness. That regarding is a formation. When one knows and sees thus, bhikkhu, the immediate destruction of the taints occur, that part is that the impermanent. If he knows and sees that this is impermanent, the feeling is impermanent and so on, then this immediate destruction of the taint occur. And then, we talk about the four views here. That matter as the same as self, or that I am inside, you know, sort of this feeling, perceptions. And then the fifth one is, he may not regard any of these things, but he holds such a view as this, that which is the self is the world, having passed away, that I shall be permanent, stable, eternal, not subject to change. This eternalist view is a formation, sastradrishti. He thinks that this is permanent. I will pass away and born as a Brahma or someone, and then, you know, I am permanent by that time. And he may not regard the form as self or hold such an eternalist view, but he holds such a view as this. I might not be, and it might not be for me. I will not be, and it will not be for me. That annihilistic view is a formation. That annihilistic view is that I am not there. I am not here. Now, people, when they meditate, that they get that there is no, I am not existing. I'm not there, right? When one think like that, what is happening? I don't have a teacher. If I am not here, then I don't have a teacher. I don't have father. I don't have a mother. So I say that everything ceased. Nothing is here. That is not true either. So we should not go into those two extremes, that I am not here, I am not. Either I exist, I do not exist. Because that's the normal way all of us think or used to think. We always think either exist or do not exist. Buddha said that one in one discourse. So, this is whole thing is constructed.
Is that one of the jhana states? Is there a jhana state of beyond existence and non-existence?
When we are ignorant, we always say either exist or does not exist. Unless you contemplate and you see yourself that this whole thing is sort of a rising thing and passing away. You see, if you say that I do exist, then if someone knows about the cessation, so there is a dispute. Because if there is cessation, then you can't exist. And if I know the rising phenomena, and if you say I do not exist, well, if there is an arising phenomena, how come you do not exist? That won't come to pass either. So Buddha teaches in the Dhamma in the middle that there is arising phenomena and the passing away phenomena. That is what exists. And
but what is sakkāya-ditti?
Sakkāya-ditti at that particular time, you are actually saying that when there is this matter, the feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, and then you actually say that there is someone here, the permanent, stable someone here. You get it that sort of a way. That it is because this whole process is very complicated. One can't see how this one come to arise. If I do not know, let's say I have not heard Buddhism at all. If I do not know Buddhism at all, then I do not know how I become over here, the materiality. How do I exist? And so when I'm thinking that I'm saying I am doing this, you know, the vohara, the word, the way we speak, is that I am doing it, I am going, I am all those things, sort of way. So rather than looking at that these things are dependently arising, we see that one as a permanent, you know, the person who entered the temple is the one that is staying there as well. If you look at when you were a baby, you can see that you are not a baby anymore, right? But you are not apart from that baby as well. There is a connection. So without seeing these connections, how they is dependently arising, one would actually take continuously that this one has the self. So without knowing this complicated thing. But if you know that depending on the eye and the form, the eye consciousness arises, and next I get the ear and the sound, ear consciousness arises. If I know that the eye consciousness ceases by the time I get the ear consciousness, then I don't have any dispute over here, because I know that someone ceases and something arises. But if I say what I see, so I hold it, and then what I hear, then I am here, I see, I hear. You see what I am trying to say? So there is this distinction. If someone does not review this, the consciousness, how it's going from one to another, then we can't see. He would see that I am here, I see this form, and the same me hear the sound. The continuity is lost.
So, isn't it the fact that except in the state of cessation of perception and feeling, every other state is a formation?
No, there is this neither perception nor non-perception state, the eighth jhana level. You would be remaining in the remainder of the volitional formations. You are not constructing anything further. And in the neither perception nor non-perception level, you don't even aware of these things.
Cessation of feeling and perception.
Yes. So, in the neither perception nor non-perception, there is either perception or not perception sort of level. And if there is a volition, then this karma is coming.
When you said the eye consciousness arises, then the ear consciousness arises, and I can fool myself that there is one eye that's having one consciousness after the other, is that right? Is it possible to have the eye consciousness and the ear consciousness at the same time, or that
no.
It changes so fast?
When you watch the TV, watch the TV, we have the illusion, we actually think that the sound and the picture is there at the same time. Even the scientifically, it is not so.
So when I watch you, I have the same illusion?
Yes, in the sense that we are hearing and that one. So it is changing very rapidly.
And again,
no two consciousness arise together. No two consciousness arise. One ceases, the other one comes.
Does it mean that what you get is two formations there? Two forms.
Yes.
It's not the same form.
Not the same.
What you see from the eye is one form, but what you hear is
another formation.
It could be, it you feel like it is the same time, but it is not really, because it's two different. Access methods, contacts actually.
In the case of TV picture, it is even there is a timing gap, which we are not even enable to detect it. So for us, It's a continuous, I see the picture, I get the sound. If you talk to a scientist who actually talking about this, well, it's happening in two different times as well. So now we have, if we do not know, then we have this, okay, so I am continuously perceiving that one and this one. Sort of scenario. This is because very rapidly our mind is going back to this contact. Very rapid. It's called srotha in Pali. It's a stream of consciousness, not one consciousness. It's a stream, it's flows.
So when we meditate, do we slow down the stream?
We slow down. Yes, that's why we can see properly. Because otherwise we are going rapidly, you know, the roller coaster type thing. But over here you can sort of slow down and in a sort of a higher concentration, I could actually see the, with my mind eye closed, I could see how these lips, you know, moving one at a time, you know, of a person. The perception you can see up to that level. So, yeah, it's, otherwise we just see the lips going up, down sort of thing, right? So these patterns. So this Buddha said that over here that if I'm saying that that the last one is that I might not be, means that a good example is given in the Sinhala translation. It says that that if I'm not here, then I don't get pirikara, you know, the things that monks are getting. If I'm not here, I don't have any arms or anything from the other people, right? So if one would go into that level as well, in the perception that I do not exist at all. If you do not exist, you don't have to eat, you don't have to do anything, right? Yeah, but still they can't see it. So, and then the last one, he may not regard for myself or hold such an annihilist view, but he is perplexed, doubtful, indecisive in regard to the true Dhamma. So that is vichikicca in Pali. That perplexity, doubtfulness, indecisiveness in regard to true Dhamma is a formation. That's again sanskara. There's not knowing this Dhamma and doubt about it. So there's this formation. So you can see how many thousands and millions of formations that we have in the combination. Yeah. So that formation bhikkhu is impermanent, condition dependently arisen, that craving is impermanent, condition dependently arisen, that feeling is impermanent, condition dependently arisen, that contact is impermanent, condition dependently arisen, that ignorance is impermanent, condition dependently arisen. When one knows and sees thus bhikkhu, the immediate destruction of the taints occur. If someone sees the impermanent nature, so how do we see the impermanent nature? We need to contemplate very heavily on that Samadhi Bhavana Sutta, how this thing arises. That so when the craving arises, the form arises, and with the arising of ignorance, the form arises as well. And then with the arising of kamma, the arising of form, with the arising of the edible food, the nutriments, arising of form. And when we see something arises, also we see the arising, like a baby is born and we see that there is this arising. So one has to contemplate, though the third one is so difficult to analyze, this kamma, you know, it's not easy, but edible food part. And then the craving part is sort of one can see, contemplate. And those two are really valuable in understanding the impermanent nature. We will stop for today.